Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. We are so thankful for yet another opportunity that the Lord has given to us. To come together with the saints around the Word of God. I trust that you are doing well, you and your loved ones. I know that the Lord is with you and He's fulfilling His promise in all of our lives. Amen. Glory to God. For a few weeks, we have been studying together the love of God, God's love revolution. It's getting bigger. We're just getting started. There's a lot of depth that the Lord will have us explore and lay hold of. And so even in these early beginnings of our studies, as we have continued to press into the Word of God, I see already just the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, his teaching graces, the understanding that he's imparting, and the great revelation and the outpouring of the power of God. And I'm just so thankful. I'm really excited to dive right into the Word of God in this service tonight. So if you will, wherever you are, whatever platform you are joining us on, and wherever you are in the world, whether you are joining us in real time or you are joining or listening to this at a later time, thank you. But let's bow our heads and share a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we're just thankful. We're thankful to you for yet another opportunity that you are giving to us tonight to be able to come together around the Word of God. Your word is so sweet. It's so precious. It's nothing like the Word of God. There is just, hallelujah. The Bible says you uphold all things by the word of your power. Glory to God. There's nothing else that can anchor our lives like your word. Nothing else can give substance and meaning and empowerment. And so tonight, Lord, open our eyes. Help us, God, to behold wonderful things out of your word. Precious Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Grant us illumination. Let there be great grace available in this service tonight. I pray for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone that's under the sound of my voice. I pray, Father, that you impart great grace upon them tonight. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for thinking through my mind and speaking through my vocal cords. I give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And thank you so much again for being with us tonight. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it does not know him." He says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, then we shall be like him, for we shall see him just as he is." I really like the amplified rendition of the first part of chapter 3, verse 1. See what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. Hallelujah. An incredible quality of love. We've been studying that for a little bit. And it's getting deeper and deeper and deeper. It is so crucial and it is so important that the love of God, our revelation and our understanding of the love of God, is comprehensive. That we get rooted and we get established in that love. That love overflows, that it abounds in us. Because the measure of the love of God that we have, how much of the love of God we actually lay hold on in our lives, determines how much of God we can experience. The Bible says God is love. And if you dwell in love, you dwell in God. And God dwells in you. And the fullness of the Godhead, the fullness, the full capacity of everything that God desires to do in all of our lives is strongly determined by how well-rooted, how well-established we are in the love of God. How much of the love of God is abounding in our hearts. Glory to God. You know, God demonstrated the greatest and the highest possible quality of love. When the Bible says, see what an incredible quality of love. It's the highest. It's the greatest. How do we know? Because he gave us his best. He knew us. He wasn't a stranger. We studied this last week. It's not like he was unaware of our tendencies, our capabilities. He knew the majority of the world would reject him. And yet he still gave us his best. He started out in the Garden of Eden and gave man his best. And man messed it up. But God didn't say, well, I know them. I know their track record. I know their history. They are probably going to mess this up again. I've said this before. If I have something that is of good quality, great quality, something else that is of high value to me, let's use maybe some possession. I give that possession to somebody, that thing of high value, I give it to someone, and maybe they're close to me, or maybe they're just someone I, you know, want to be a blessing to, and I give them something of high value. But then I see that they don't value it. And I see that they actually abuse it. They end up destroying it, right? Well, think about it. The next time I think they have a need and I think I have something of value that can be a blessing to them, I really would not give it to them because of that track record, because of what they did, because of what they did previously. That's how I would think. That's how most human beings would think. Hallelujah. And it would be stupid to do otherwise, right? Because if someone doesn't demonstrate their ability to value something and to treat something well that is of high value, then they have shown that they don't deserve to be given such a thing of high value. It's just obvious from the way they've treated that. If I had a fairly used car and I had someone close to me, let's say one of our children was young and learning to drive, and I give them the keys to that fairly used car, even though they're just starting their driving career or whatever their driving experience in life. But then they abuse it. I mean, not that something unplanned happens, which that can happen to anyone. But I see that they actually just abuse the vehicle. They don't treat it right. They don't take care of it. They don't clean it. They don't wash it. They're not careful in the way they use it. They abuse it. They abuse it. They just treat it anyhow. Well, let's say they destroy that car. And now I have a car of higher value. And now they need a car. And I remember their track record. And I remember the history. Well, it really would be stupid of me until they actually demonstrate that they have grown and that they will do better with that vehicle. It's stupid of me to actually give them this vehicle that is of higher value when I know that their track record tells me they are going to destroy it. Well, think about this for a minute. What God did for us, what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary, every good gift he had given to us, we've always abused. We have not valued. All of us, not just Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, all of us, before we came into Christ, all of us, from our childhood, from earlier on, even in our adulthood, the Lord's been trying to stir us. He's been trying to help us. He's been giving us things of high value, of great value. And our track record told him that we didn't deserve it because we always abused his grace. We always abused his mercy. We took him for granted. And yet, what did he do? He turned around and gave us his best, his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave us his best. Now that is incredible love. That's incredible quality of love. To turn around and give your best to someone. Not because you are trying to get something from them, but because you love them. That's an incredible quality of love. And that's what our Father did for us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, thank you. Glory to God. Father, thank you. Thank you. Now, we've read Ephesians chapter 3. And in Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 14, this is one of the most powerful prayers recorded in the entire Bible. And Paul, God's servant, the missionary, the apostle, the teacher, the leader, the servant of God, prayed a lot of prayers in the New Testament. This one is really one of the most impactful, one of the most powerful prayers that he ever prayed for the church, for the saints. And it had to do with the love of God. Let's go back there in Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, to grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Notice, we talked a little bit about this last week. Not just having the love of God at a peripheral level. Not just experiencing the love of God at a surface level. Oh yeah, I know God loves me. Yes, praise God. Oh hallelujah, I know God loves me. Amen. No. But he says that you may be rooted and grounded. There's a lot that goes into being rooted and grounded in the love of God. We know there's great power that flows when we are rooted and grounded in the love of God. And we have shared very pertinent examples here. When we are not rooted and grounded in the love of God, it's very easy. It's like a seed that is sown that is not like the parable of the sower. Right? Some seeds fell by the wayside and the birds of the air just came and stole them. Some fell and they didn't have roots. And for a while, they seemed like they were doing good. But after a while, the seeds were destroyed because they didn't have roots. Well, in order for us to enjoy the full benefits of the love of God, we must be rooted, deeply rooted and grounded in that love. is one of the most powerful, one of the most impactful things that can happen in the life of any believer. In order for us to enjoy the full benefits of our relationship with God, in order for us to take full advantage of everything that is available to us in Christ, we must be deeply rooted and grounded in the love of God. He prays, he says, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of God, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You may know the length, the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, to be rooted, to be grounded. Well, to be rooted, to be grounded means that some work has to be done. It means some work has to be done. To be rooted and grounded in the love of God, then it means that's not just going to happen coincidentally. It's not just going to happen on its own. That means there has to be something intentional. There has to be something intentional, just like every aspect of our relationship with God. There has to be something intentionally done to help us become grounded and rooted in the love of God. Hallelujah. Means we have to be extremely intentional about it. We can't just hope that it happens. No. It says that we may know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that we may be filled with the fullness of God. Let's go back to verse 19. It says that you may be able to comprehend with all saints. The word comprehend, Greek word katalambano, means to seize upon, to lay hold on, and to possess it. So you see, those are strong action words. Those are strong verbs. To lay hold upon something, to seize it. In fact, the original translation means to seize it. This is the same word you remember in John chapter 1, where it says in Christ was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. That's, so the darkness can't take hold of it, can't seize it, can't possess it, can't damage it, can't possess it. Can't overcome it, can't take it, you can't take it. Well, we must, in order to be grounded and to be well-rooted in the love of God, we must lay hold upon it. We must seize it. We must possess it. We must possess it. And that's not passive. That's not passive at all. In fact, like Paul prayed in some of his other prayers regarding the love of God, that we may abound in that love, he said. That we may abound in that love. That's not just going to happen like that by happenstance. No. Now notice here, it says that you may know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So when we know the love of Christ, when we have experiential and revelation knowledge of the love of Christ, then we will be filled with the fullness of God. Hallelujah. That is, we'll be full of the person of God, because God is love, and we'll be full of the power of God. Hallelujah. We'll be full of the person of God, and we'll be full of the power of God. Glory to God. when we are full of the love of God, when we are grounded, when we are rooted in the love of God, we'll be full of the person of God and we'll be full of the power of God. No wonder it says in the next verse, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What is that power? It's the power. The power is completely interconnected, interwoven with the love of God that is within us. Hallelujah. The power that is at work in our hearts is the power of the love of God. When we are full of the love of God, we are full of the fullness of God. Hallelujah. You notice the word, notice it says, to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Exceeding abundantly. Not just what we ask. Not just what we ask, but way beyond what we ask or think or dream of or imagine. Way beyond. So that means God works in the realm of the overflow. God works in the realm of abundance when our love is abounding. When our love is abounding, the power of God is limitless in our life. As a child of God, when the love of God within you is abounding, the power of God within you is limitless. Hallelujah. Listen to this. When you have God's love in your heart, you will never be without his power in your life. I like that. I like that. When you have God's love in your heart, you will never be without his power in your life. More love, more power. More love. In fact, someone wrote a song like that, right? More love, more power. More love, more healing. More love, more promotion. More love, more breakthrough. Hallelujah. It's all rooted in the love of God. The more of the love of God that we have, that we possess in our lives, the more of heaven we can enjoy on this earth. Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen to me, saints. Listen to me, saints. If there is something, listen, this is from the Holy Spirit. If there is something that has proved difficult to achieve, if there is a breakthrough that hasn't come, if there is a prayer that has not been answered, I would go and intentionally fill my cup of love. I would just take time and just fill my cup of love to overflowing. Because when the love of Christ, when the love of God abounds in our heart, the power of God that we'll experience will be limitless. Glory to God. There's a direct connection, a direct relationship between the love of God, the level of the love of God in our lives, and the power of God that we can experience in our lives. There is a direct relationship, a direct correlation between the level of the love of God in our heart, the measure of the love of God in our heart, and the measure and the level and the efficacy of the power of God that we can experience in our lives. I'm telling you. If there's a breakthrough that's not coming, if there's some miracle that is not happening, if there's something that is being held up, if there's some door that is not open, I will. The first thing I would do is just based on the word of God. It's just based on the word of God. The first thing I would do is I would go and intentionally fill my cup of love to overflowing. And with all these different things, many of these things that we're talking about, that we're learning about in our Bible studies in this season, I would intentionally go and fill my cup of the love of God to overflowing. When you have God's love in your heart, you will never be without his power in your life. Listen to this. The cure for every kind of power failure in the life of a Christian, in the life of a believer, is abounding agape love in our heart. I'm going to say it again. The cure for every kind of power failure in the life of a believer is abounding agape love in our heart. That's the cure for every kind of power failure. You know what a power failure is? Like you go to your switch in the house and you turn on this. You come in from outside and the switch at the door, which is the first thing you turn on when you walk in so you can see your way. You flip that switch and there's no light. And you go, wow, what happened? My bulb may be burnt or something. That's a power failure. Or maybe there's just no power in the house. Something's blown, some breaker is gone or whatever. But the cure to every power failure in the life of a believer is abounding love, abounding agape love in our heart. Abounding agape love in our heart. Listen to this. Every God-ordained prayer will be answered. Every God-ordained breakthrough will be delivered. And every God-ordained miracle will be manifested and sustained when the love of God abounds in your heart and in mine. Every God-ordained breakthrough, every breakthrough that has been given to us from heaven will be manifest. Every prayer will be answered. Every prayer will be answered. Every single prayer that is according to the will of God will be answered when the love of God abounds in our heart. Every miracle will become manifest. Every miracle will become manifested and sustained when the love of God abounds in our heart. Every breakthrough will be delivered. Every breakthrough. There will be nothing so hard that the breakthrough does not show up when the love of God is abounding in the heart of a believer. It's just impossible. It's just impossible. Many times, the missing link, the missing ingredient to the blessing and to the doors, the open doors, and to the breakthroughs that a lot of believers seek in their lives is abounding love. Abounding love. Notice, abounding love. Not just love, peripheral love. No, abounding love. Abounding agape love. Glory to God. In our heart. So now unto him that is able to do exceeding abounding, abundantly, above all that we ask. Well, why is he going to do exceeding abundantly? Because we are abounding in his love. We are full of the love of God. Because we are full of the love of God, we are full of the fullness of God. When the love of God abounds in our heart, the power of God abounds in our life. This is absolutely the first area I will look. I know for many years, the servant of God, the late Kenneth E. Hagin, used to say that. He used to say if he prayed over something, and it just was not happening, he said the first area he would check out would be the area of his love, his love work. His love work. And I know, yeah, he was talking about his love work towards men, towards other people, his love for other. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ did talk about this actually in Mark chapter 11. You remember? When he said, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you have them and you have them, right? And then he says, when you pray, forgive. Now, this is, but there's a direct correlation, right? So you see Mark 11, 23, 24. Hallelujah. Mark 11, 23, 24. For verily, I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking now, his words are in red here, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And then he said in verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against any, that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your own trespasses. Forgiveness, obviously, is a fruit of love. But remember, we're not there yet. We're not talking yet about the love that's flowing from us to other people, right? Because the root of the love that is flowing from us to other people is actually in the love of God that is resident in our heart. You can't give what you don't have. And people can try, you can try and say, I'm just going to walk in love and I'm just going to, but if you don't have abounding love in your heart, if the revelation of the love of God, like Paul prayed in this prayer, he says that he will grant you, Ephesians chapter 3, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ, to have a revelation of that love. He puts it in another, in another one of his prayers, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. He talks about that your love may abound, that your love may yet abound. Philippians chapter 1 verse 9 is all the same concept, by the way. To be rooted and grounded in the love of God. Hallelujah. To be filled with the fullness of God, to know the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of God is the same thing as abounding in the love of God. It's to abound in the love of God. Why use the word abound? It means it's not just a small measure. It's not just the basic minimum required. No, it's overflowing love. Look at this other prayer he prayed in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. Listen to this. In the King James, this is how he reads. He says, and this I pray, Philippians 1 verse 9, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Glory to God. This I pray. This is again in line with his prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. This I pray, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in judgment, in all judgment. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, notice there's something really intentional about this. This is not just, oh, as you go on your daily walk every day, that your love may abound more and more. No. That your love may abound more and more. Let's read this from the Amplified. Philippians 1, 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more and extend to its fullest development. I love that. Extend to its fullest development in knowledge and all keen insight, that your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment. These are big concepts concerning the love of God. This is not just your everyday, I love you, you love me, God loves me, oh, hallelujah, I pray everything is okay with me today. No. This is climbing a ladder of the love of God. This is digging deeper into foundation until the depth of that love is so strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love it. That your love may abound yet more and more and extend to its fullest development in knowledge. Now, let's go. That's one prayer. He prayed exactly, just about almost exactly the same prayer in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 3 and verse 12. Let's read that in the King James and in the Amplified. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. Why is it so important that we abound in the love of God? That we don't just have the basic measure. We don't just have a little measure. No, but that is overflowing. That our cup is overflowing in the love of God. Why? Because the measure of the love of God that is resident in our heart is what determines how much of the power of God we can experience in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We talked earlier about power failures. You know what a power failure is, spiritually speaking, right? You pray and you expect that prayer to be answered, but it's never answered. You knock on a door or on doors. You expect those doors. You've received the promise that God, this is your door. It should be opened. This door should open for you. But you keep knocking and you keep knocking and you keep knocking and you keep knocking. This does, nothing is happening. Power failure was the kind of thing that those prophets of Baal had. You remember? In 1 Kings 19, when Elijah told them, pray more. And they were praying to their gods and to their idols. Those gods never answered. He said, scream a little louder. Maybe they are sleeping, or maybe they went on vacation. Pray a little. That's power failure. That's power. That's spiritual power failure. When you call on your covenant partner, who promised that he will be there for you, but you call on him and he doesn't show up, that's power failure. When you expect certain things to happen, that because they have been promised, 2026 is our year of supernatural shift and power is changing hands. Okay. For this power to change hands, the love of God must be resident in our heart. The love of God must abound in our heart. For there to be a supernatural shift, there has to be a love revolution. There has to be a paradigm shift. For there to be supernatural shift, there has to be paradigm shift. For there to be supernatural shift, there has to be paradigm shift. For power to change hands, love must be resident in our heart in an abounding measure. Hallelujah. The Lord speaking to us. The Lord speaking to some people. He's speaking to all of us. But especially, some people are getting this. Some people are getting this. In order to have a supernatural shift, there has to be a paradigm shift. In order for power to change hands, love must be resident in an abounding measure in the heart of a believer. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. Let's go read this. He said right here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, and this is another prayer of Paul, and the Lord make you abound. Glory to God. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. If the Lord cause you to increase and abound. See, we're still talking about abounding love, the measure of it. And in the Amplified, he uses three words to describe abounding love. He uses three words to explain what that word abound means. Listen to the Amplified, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. And may the Lord make you to increase and excel and overflow in love for one another and for all people, just as we do for you. May the Lord make you increase. May the Lord make you excel. May the Lord make you overflow. So he describes abounding in love as three major things: to increase in the love of God, to excel in the love of God, and then to overflow in the love of God. These are not just small measures of love. These are not just peripheral levels of love. Hallelujah. The word abound is a very interesting Greek word, perisseo. It means the thing is overflowing. It's the same word that is used in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. It's the same word. So in order for God to do exceeding abundantly in our lives, we must abound in his love. We must abound in his love. Glory to God. Somebody say, Pastor, but I think I'm doing good in the love of God. You know, I think it's not good enough. That's why the Lord is calling us. The Lord is calling us to grow, to increase in this love. It's not good enough. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I have a cup that has a measure of water in it. This measure of water in this cup represents a measure of the love of God that is currently resident in the hearts of many believers. It's a measure. However you want to describe it, glass half full or glass half empty, that's up to you. But it's just a measure. But one thing you and I can agree on, regardless of the way you prefer or the way you choose to describe this, one thing you and I can agree on is this cup is not full of water. You and I can agree on this. This cup is not overflowing with water. There's no doubt about that. It's half full or half empty, however you want to describe it. But it is not full and it is not overflowing with this water. And as long as this cup holds on to this mediocre measure of water, it will never abound in the power of God. It will never overflow in the capabilities that are available to it. As long as our heart has only a mediocre measure of the love of God, half full or half empty, however you want to describe it, we will not qualify for the limitless, exceeding abundant power of God that he wants to release into our lives. No matter how you want to describe that measure of love, if all that there is in our heart is a mediocre measure of the love of God, supernatural shift will be limited. Power will not change hands. Because in order for there to be supernatural shift, there has to be a paradigm shift. There has to be a love revolution. That is, something has to happen to this small, mediocre measure of love. Something has to change. This measure of love in my heart is not good enough. It's not sufficient for God, what God wants to do in my life. So what do I need to do? Intentionally, I need to increase more and more. As what Paul prayed, I have to increase more and more in my knowledge of that love, in my understanding of that love, in my appreciation of that love, in my receiving of that love. I have to increase more and more. I have to increase more and more. Glory to God. So I go from a small, mediocre measure of love to overflowing. See, it's overflowing. And when it gets to that measure that is overflowing, the power of God is limitless in the life of the believer. When the love of God increases to that level that is overflowing, the power of God is without limits in the life of the believer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Paul prayed, he said, I pray that you may abound more and more, that you may increase, that you may excel, that you may overflow. That's why the Lord has us here studying about this love revolution. Something drastic has to happen in our appreciation of the love of God. We have to move beyond the level of the basement where our operation and our recognition and our understanding of the love of God is concerned. We have to move out of that basement and we have to go all the way up on the ladder and go to the top of the house. We have to overflow in the love of God. We have to abound in the love of God. Hallelujah. When we begin to abound in the love of God, my brother, my sister, truly, like Paul said, this is where we left off. This is where we stopped last week. And I think this is probably where we're going to stop again in Romans chapter 8. The greatest security. Nothing, the love of God is the greatest security that exists on this earth. Nothing will ever overcome the power of the love of God. Nothing. When the love of God is in that limitless, abundant measure, there is nothing that can overcome the power of the love of God in our lives. Nothing. The greatest security on this earth is the love of God. The greatest security, absolutely greatest security on this earth is the love of God. Let's go back here to Romans chapter 8. He said in from verse 31, we started reading this last week. Glory to God. He said, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen. Hallelujah. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? When we are grounded, when we are deeply rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, who, what? Let's put it better. Who and what can separate us? When we are not deeply rooted and deeply grounded, anything. Satan can blow something little and we'll be off our feet. But when we are deeply rooted and deeply grounded in the love of God, my friends, who, what can separate us? Let's read it further. Yes, we will come back here next week. It says, who can separate us from, what can separate us from the love of God? Who can? The love of Christ. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In all this, that is, whether it's tribulation, whether it's adversity, whether it's difficulty, whether it's sword, whether it is poverty, whether it is war, whatever it is. Whatever it is. God loves us way beyond anything that is going on in this world. There's a war going on. There's a war going on in Ukraine. And we continue to stand on the word of God and believe. And believe for his miraculous intervention in that war. It's a lot of innocent people that are being killed. God loves all those people. There's another war going on in the Middle East, where this evil regime has attacked time and time again innocent people, a lot of innocent people in Israel, across the Middle East. But even in that nation of Iran, there are innocent people now that have been killed. God loves all those people. This is not the Old Testament where we say God has condemned all nations, or certain nations are condemned and God is judging that nation. No, Jesus died for all these people. One of our missionaries in South Africa recently sent us a video. A video from 2024 with an Iranian Christian who was a part of the underground church, because their evil regime suppresses not just their liberty, but suppresses faith. Anything that is not Islam, anything that is not a radical form of their Islam, their evil regime suppresses it. You can't carry a Bible and say you are doing church in that nation. But this beloved sister, in this video that our missionary in South Africa shared with us, this beloved sister was talking about the underground church, even in Iran. The underground church, that is believers that are operating, but that are not known publicly. You remember the old Soviet Union, that empire that used to be so evil before the Lord broke it down. Because of that evil regime, there was a lot of suppression on the gospel, suppression on faith. But even in that nation, in those nations that constituted the Soviet Union, I remember way back then, we were in high school, I think, where we were reading books by a man named Richard Wurmbrand, one of the people, very strong elements, strong servants of God that were running the underground church in the churches in the Soviet Union. God loved all those people. The fact that their government was evil doesn't mean that God wasn't looking for a way to get the gospel to them. All of those innocent children and young people and that are dying across the Middle East, dying in Iran, as terrible as their leadership is, God loves all those people. Jesus died for those people. God doesn't love some more than others. He doesn't love us, believers, more than he loves those innocent people that are perishing now in this war. That's why we should pray against the war. Pray against war everywhere. In Ukraine, in the Middle East, pray against the war. We ask and we declare the peace of God. And we pray for the mercy of God to sustain and to rescue and to deliver the lives of all these innocent ones in the name of Jesus. God loves all those people. So who can separate us from the love of God? Death? Tribulation? No. Then he says in verse 37, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I love it. He said in the Amplifier, amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and we gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. We're going to come back to this next week. Because now I'm rushing to close. For I'm persuaded beyond doubt, I'm sure, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor death, nor anxiety, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God for the love of God. God loves us. God loves every one of us. God loves every one of us. Let's embrace that love again tonight. Saints, as we close, let's embrace more of that love. Let's receive more of that. Let's fill our cup to overflowing tonight with the love of God. Hallelujah. Let's increase the measure of the love of God in our hearts tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Go right ahead and thank God for his love. Thank God. Appreciate more. Appreciate more of that love. Take hold of that love. Oh, hallelujah. Seize it. Comprehend it with all the saints. Katalambano it with all this. Say, take hold of it, possess it, and make it yours. Say, I thank God he loves me. I believe the love of God. I receive the love of God. I walk in the fullness of the love of God. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you. We lift you up. We adore you. We exalt your holy name. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us the way you do. We give you the glory and the praise, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. God loves you. God loves you. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through tonight, whatever you're dealing with, I don't care where you are in the world, God loves you. God loves you. We're out of time. I look forward to seeing you again same time next week. God bless you. Good night.